This episode discusses disordered eating and mentions anorexia. If these conversations are triggering, please contact the Butterfly Foundation at 1-800-334-673. We at Fat and Eyes pay our respect to the traditional custodians of the Meanjin land. This land is and always will be Aboriginal land. Is this thing on? Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Fat and Eyes podcast. I am your host, Demi Lynch, and we are back again talking about issues and taboos related to the plus size community. On the show today, we have a listener of ours who is sharing her experience in the Defence Force and the deeply troubling fat phobia she had to endure. Now, we had to change her name due to privacy reasons, but we are very appreciative that she even came onto the show to share her story. This is Sarah. Hi, Sarah. How are you going today?
Hi, good, thanks. It's very hot here, though. I've got my aircon on blast.
Oh, isn't this heat horrible? Absolutely horrible. Like, I've just got underboob rash already from all the sweating. I've got, like, some inner thigh pimples from the sweating. Like, it's not lovely at all.
Shirt tuck under the boobs.
Yes, got to tuck. Yes. People out there that don't have big boobs and don't experience underboob sweat, like, you should think yourselves lucky. Like, you bastards. But we're not talking about boobs today, my dear. We're talking about the Defence Force. Yeah, no, this is such a segue of a conversation from boobs to Defence Force. Yeah. We're talking about your experience in the Defence Force and the fat phobia that you experienced there and witnessed there. So how long were you in the Defence Force exactly?
I was in for the better part of 10 years. Mm-hmm. A fairly long time. I probably would have stayed longer if the end of my experience wasn't as not amazing as it was.
So did you want to tell the listeners what happened exactly that you felt like there is some deep internalized fat phobia amongst this the Defence Force here in the community here?
Yeah, so when I joined, I was actually quite a small human being, so I wasn't really subjected to any of that myself, but obviously I heard it all. You know, like, if someone was big, it didn't matter if they passed their basic fitness assessment, it didn't matter if they were good at their job, they were just judged for being big. And I heard it all. And then when I got injured, slowly every year I'd put on more and more weight, and I felt the change towards myself. Then it's just weird, like, people automatically assume you're lazy or you're stupid or you're incompetent, and it's like, you realize I'm not putting on kilos and I'm completely unaware of how I've put on this weight. I'm not a moron. But as soon as you're no longer thin and trim, people just automatically treat you like you're incompetent. Like, one of our senior nursing officers was a bigger lady, but, like, she was incredible at her job and she participated in sports at a very high level. And, like, there was literally no reason to doubt her ability towards anything, but people did. And yeah, so once I started getting bigger and my injuries prevented me from passing the basic fitness assessment, I just had all this internalized shame and felt horrible. I was like, oh my God, people are judging me. People think I'm shit. People think I'm not worth their time. People think I'm a burden. And people actually do stop treating you the same. They do. They might not go out and say, oh, you're fat, you're a shit cunt, but they do treat you differently. Mm-hmm. They're not as nice to you anymore. They're not as social with you anymore. You don't get the same amount of job opportunities anymore.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I was medically downgraded. When you're medically downgraded, you're not expected to pass. You're expected to be in rehab.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I didn't end up recovering. I ended up medically discharging. But it's just like, so what? I'm still doing my job. I'm still kicking ass. And I know I can't go field. So I feel like a huge burden because I can't go field. So I'm doing every other job under the sun that I can do to make myself busy, to take the load off of others where I can. And people are still just like, oh, your life must be so easy, rah, rah, rah. And it's like, no, I'm actually suffering from physical illnesses, mental illnesses. And I know you all are pissed off that I'm not carrying the load.
Since you've left and have been able to like speak about your experience, have other people come to you and like share their experiences as well? And you're thinking, oh my God, there are actually others that experience this as well.
I don't actually have any other friends who are medically separated. So the really annoying thing is they say how lucky I am to have been medically separated. And it's like, I'm not lucky. I didn't rot the system. I have injuries. I have imaging, the empirical evidence that I have those injuries. And now I'm at the point where walking for 5 minutes is excruciatingly painful. So no, I would rather have not have had these injuries and not had to have been medically separated. I know of other people who've, I would say, had it way worse than I did, but we're not close. We don't really discuss it. Mm-hmm. And I also don't like to talk about it too much because it's just so hard to communicate that experience to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I feel like the Defence Force literally stripped away my self-worth and my self-respect and self-esteem. And even now I'll see them on the news and they'll be doing humanitarian work or overseas or within Australia, and I'll think, I should be there. I'm a piece of shit because I'm not there. I'm a piece of shit because I left and I couldn't hack it. And I don't know how to get rid of that feeling. It's like I think everyone else is perfectly entitled to leave the Defence Force. But I look at myself and think I failed.
It's very hard because I have a partner who was in the Defence Force only for a brief amount of time because, yeah, it was just a shit show. That's an understatement. But, yeah. The stories he's told me in regards to like the bullying mentality of it all and how much that's just so normalized. Whereas in any other work environment, any other job, if your boss treated you the way that they treat people in the military, like there would be lawsuits, people would be fired. Like it's just crazy how so much of the breaking down people and bullying them is just so normalized in the Defence Force.
Yes, it's very male centric. It's very white centric. Mm-hmm. It's very ableist centric. And look, I understand why you need to reach a certain fitness standard, but if someone needs to be in rehab, they need to be in rehab.
Mm.
And then they can either get back to their job or unfortunately they can't. Like, why do you have to treat them like a piece of shit? And people are like, oh, they're a linger, which is like malingering, which means they're faking it. Like anyone who seeks medical assistance is pretty much labeled a linger. And it's just like, maybe they do have mental health issues. Maybe they are faking it, but guess what? a mental health issue is a health issue.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we need to find out the crux of why they don't want to be there so badly. They're faking an injury. Like advocating for people in defense, I feel like because I was so shit at it myself, for myself, I was really passionate about doing it for others. Mm-hmm. The attitudes you come up against is ridiculous. Like someone could literally be vomiting and writhing in pain and sweaty and pale, and the commander would be like, no, they're fine. It's like, no, they're not fine. And these make-believe war games are not more important than this person's health. We're not actually in a tactical combat zone right now. We're playing make-believe in a field of grass.
Yeah, it is just so sad, like how mental health is just seen as a weakness rather than like it's actually health issues. And yeah, I can't even imagine, like, as someone that has chronic health conditions, what that must have been like, having these people just see you as unworthy because you have something that you can't control. It's just crazy to me.
Yeah, it's so bizarre because you have mandatory briefs every year, and it's always about heat injury, suicide awareness, all that stuff. And the commander will get up there and they'll be like, oh, it's not weak to speak. And it's like, well, yeah, of course it's not weak to speak, but that's the only time you ever say that or act as though that's the case. Mm-hmm. Because for the rest of the year, everyone's a linger or everyone's a burden or everyone's a paperwork nightmare. And it's just like, fuck's sake, maybe if you didn't treat people like absolute shit. Like, the retention is terrible in my job role. Mm-hmm. And every year they'd come and say, oh, what can we do to keep you? And we'd tell them about like professional continuum and courses and things that would help us stay. And then they'd be like, oh, nah, there's the door. More people can take your job. I was like, even if you don't care, you realize it's actually cheaper to keep us, right? Like, at least even if you think about the bottom line, like, think about something. But yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
So something else I would like to talk to you about, since you're someone that does suffer through chronic health conditions, I am curious, like, what is it like at the moment having a chronic health condition and being someone that's plus size as well? What are some of the stigmas that you have realized that you seem to get with your chronic health conditions? Like, do people often say, oh, you're doing so good today, you must be feeling better then?
What pisses me off is, like, everyone always wants to talk about my weight. Like, oh, have you lost weight? Or how's your diet going? How's your exercise going? Like, yes, I have expressed that I want to lose weight because being the size I am now is physically uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But, like, also, shut up. Oh my God, like, my weight is the least interesting thing about me. Mm-hmm. If I do talk about, my back pain or my health and then people just seem to want to talk about, like, other people who have it worse and it's just like, oh my God, I know other people have it worse. I know I'm an incredibly privileged human being to be, like, white and cisgender and living in Australia, but, like, Like, I'm allowed to have problems too, fuck's sake.
Oh, yeah. You're allowed to just have a rant and just be like, I'm feeling quite shit right now. You don't have to try and tell me, oh, it's not so bad. Oh, you know, you've had it worse. Oh, it looks like you're getting better. Just listen to me rant, okay?
Or people who want to fix it, and
Oh, no.
you realize, like it comes back to the thing again, like I'm not fat because I'm stupid. I didn't wake up one day and be like, oh, I had this happen. Like I don't need you to tell me how to lose weight. I know how to lose weight. The knowledge is not the issue. It's the fact that food is my comfort. I'm an emotional eater, and physically I'm incredibly limited. So, like, I may or may not ever lose the weight. Why can't you just love me as the person I am now?
And that's the thing, like, just because something I find that too, and I'm someone that doesn't live with any chronic health conditions, I have to say as well, but I definitely find that if I have ever said, like, even just a little side comment and be like, oh yeah, I'd love to lose weight, or oh yeah, I'd love to be a size smaller, then the person always assumes that then every other time they see me, they can be like, oh my God, have you seen this diet? Oh my God, how's the weight loss going? How's the dieting going? It's just like, why is this a topic of conversation all the time, all of a sudden?
And I feel horrible too, because when I was like a slim person, I would judge big people and be like, oh my God, how could you ever do that to yourself? Like, oh my God, just eat, let's go for a walk. And now I judge myself with that. I'm just like, oh my God, put down the fucking food, go for a walk. But I just feel horrible about how much I did judge people. And I go to the gym, and it's so difficult. In my brain, I remember what I used to be able to do, and then I'll try to do it, and my body's just like, nice try, honey. But now I just look at other big people in the gym, and I'm like, oh my God, you're amazing, because you're probably in excruciating pain right now. And then I don't know, everything's just harder, and there are no nice clothes in any of the shops. And I just feel like the world's telling me to not be in the world. You know what I mean? Like, they don't want to see me. They don't want to know I exist. And you'll sit in a chair, and your ass is too big for a chair, and it's humiliating. And it's like, oh my God.
It's just so hard. Like, yeah, the world pretty much doesn't want your body exist, so they just make a world that's catered to thin people. But it's just like, we all just can't magically all of a sudden become thin. Like, losing weight, like, the thing is, like, we know how to lose weight. Yes, you have to eat healthier. Yes, you have to exercise more. But, like, the cost of doing that can just be so detrimental to your mental health and other things as well. Like, if I put my, like, if I all of a sudden was just like, I wanna be a certain size smaller, and if I didn't care about my mental health or anything like that, I probably could do that. But it would trigger my disordered eating. I would be in the worst, foulest mood because I'm an emotional eater. I love food. Food is my life, my everything. Like, I think people need to realize that losing weight, that it can have so much negative cost to it. Like, so, like, just people listening, just stop telling others, oh, just lose weight. Like, it's so much more complicated than that.
Yeah, I have a history of disordered eating as well. When I was younger, I put on like kilos after school, and it was nowhere near as big as I am now. But back then, that was the biggest I'd ever been, and I would pretty much I was pretty much anorexic. I would only eat if I had to, and then if I did eat, I would abuse laxatives, and I got so skinny to the point like my clavicles were out, my ribs were out, my hips were out. And the amount of compliments I got, the amount of people who told me how amazing I looked and how are you doing it, and but 24/7 all I could think about was food. and what I was going to eat next and when I was going to eat and was I allowed to eat it. And even at that tiny weight, I had like this tiny little bit of fat, like below the belly button, skin more than anything. And I'm like, I have to lose that. And like, I'm naturally a bottom heavy girl. So my thighs at the very, very top, they touched. And in my head, I was like, no, I have to get rid of that. I have to. And it's just like, and now like people are like, oh, if you just count your calories, if you do that. And I'm like, I'm terrified of counting calories because what if I go back to that? And like, so I've never developed a healthy relationship with food. And that's my problem. It's like, fuck all these fad diets and these quick fixes. And like, let's just eat to fuel our bodies and not to punish our bodies.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
So, to finish off this podcast, what I normally do with my guests is that we share our fave fat-friendly find of the week. And this can be brands, content creators, or even just a type of seat that actually caters to the plus size community and isn't fat phobic AF. So my dear, what is your fave fat friendly find of the week?
I love the Lookbook ladies because they are so sick of like what every probably fat woman is sick of. They're like, there are no chic clothes. There are no nice clothes. Everything is a floral ruffly moo moo. It's like, just want a nice blazer. I just want a nice dress. Like, can't I look chic? Like, it can't be hard to make an all black simple dress, but you know, you go to City Chic and that's all you can find is a floral wrap.
Girl, do not get me started on a City Chic rant, honey.
Yeah, I love the Lookbook ladies.
They're fabulous. They have just created such a great platform and they're beautiful. So, so lovely. And yeah, I can definitely say that as well. Recommend people check out the Lookbook. Like once you go there, you'll be like, oh my God, why did I not create this masterpiece? Yeah. So I have some content. I have a content creator. I think everyone follows this person, but you know what? I'm going to recommend her anyway because her clothing just brings me so much joy. It's Jamie Nicole on Instagram. And I probably so many people follow her, but if you don't, please follow her. She just has the most gorgeous alternative plus size fashion ever. Like I follow so many plus size influencers and her style is just so different. It's quirky, it's alternative. The other day she was wearing overalls covered in Pokemon, and just the other day another day she was wearing like this full sexy gothic outfits. Like I just want her whole wardrobe, and I just love her page. It just brings me so much joy. So people, follow Jamie Nicole on Instagram if you just want some cool, quirky, alternative fashion inspiration, because she's just fabulous and gorgeous. We love her. But yes, that is our recommendations, and I do thank you so much, Sarah, for coming onto the show and just sharing your story. I hope it wasn't too overwhelming recounting your experiences in the Defence Force, but just really big thank you for sharing with me your story.
Thanks, Demi.
And thank you so much, listeners, for listening to today's episode of the Fatinized podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please head on over to wherever you listen to the podcast, give us a rating, give us a review, and also feel free to send us a DM if you enjoyed the show. I love getting DMs, love getting some comments. And I will see you all next week for another episode of the Fatinized podcast. Bye. We at Fatinize pay our respect to the traditional custodians of the Meanjin land. This land is and always will be Aboriginal land.